Our first scripture lesson today comes from the Hebrew Bible, comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 34, verses 29 to 35. You can find this on page 78 in your pew Bibles. Hear these words. I will be reading from the Holman Christian Study Bible. As Moses descended from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in his hands as he descended the mountain, he did not realize that the skin of his face shone as a result of his speaking with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face shone. They were afraid to come near him. But Moses called out to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community returned to him, and Moses spoke to them. Afterwards, all the Israelites came near, and he commanded them everything the Lord had told him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever Moses went before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. After he came out, he would tell the Israelites what he had been commanded, and the Israelites would see that Moses' face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went to speak with the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Our epistle lesson today comes from the second letter of Paul to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 3:12 to 4:2. You'll find it in your pew Bible on page 169 of the New Testament. And as always, we'd encourage you to follow along. Since then, we have such a hope, we act with great boldness. Not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The gospel lesson today comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 43. This is the reason for Transfiguration Sunday. You can find it in your pew Bible on page 65 of the New Testament. This is the second transfiguration we'll read about today. One bit of context, this reading comes directly after Luke's description of Jesus foretelling his death and resurrection. A testimony to the apostles that was met with disbelief and misunderstanding. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent. And in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met Jesus. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, this story that we just read about the Transfiguration is one that I think should especially resonate with people who live in Colorado, because in fact it was a mountaintop experience. I sometimes think we forget that, but the Transfiguration, both of Moses and of Jesus, each of these events took place on top of a high mountain. And we also sometimes seem to forget that Jesus took along with him James and John and Simon Peter on this difficult hike to the mountaintop, if you will, so that they could have some time alone with God in prayer. In fact, if you look through the Bible, if you read through all of the Gospels, you understand that so many times Jesus calls a time out for himself and goes into the wilderness or up on a mountain or away from the crowds to find time to pray. Well, on this particular prayer hike, things were quite a bit different. Jesus was transfigured in an action of God that verified for those folks who were present that he indeed was the Messiah, that he truly was the Son of God. It was similar to what happened at his baptism on the banks of the Jordan River, but in this instance, other people heard God's voice from the cloud. And this was truly a theophany, a direct and immediate experience of God. God's true presence. Peter and James and John were right there on that mountain with Jesus. If you read different scriptures, we find out that in fact they were asleep. And when they awoke from their naps, they witnessed Jesus' amazing brilliance, his divine radiance. And they watched as Jesus spoke to Moses and Elijah. Have you ever been on a mountaintop when clouds come over and you're in the fog, literally? That's what happened to these guys. They were there as the cloud came and enveloped them. Their teeth were chattering, I'm sure, when they heard the voice of God affirming that Jesus was the chosen one. He was the true Son of God. Now, clearly, Jesus was forever changed by this theophany, by this appearance of God. But were his apostles? Were their lives fully impacted? Do we see any evidence in Holy Scripture that the transfiguration made a difference for Peter and James and John? If you read on, much of the rest of the Gospel of Luke describes how Jesus flexed his power in the kingdom of God. It also describes how the apostles didn't really fully understand who Jesus was or what all of this meant. In fact, the very next story, the one we read today about Jesus drawing the evil spirit from the boy, illustrates both Jesus' exasperation with the crowd and with his apostles, and also their apparent disconnect from what Jesus was doing. It seems that for Luke, the apostles simply didn't get it. And I wonder if we might not find ourselves in a similar place as those apostles, maybe not fully understanding what's going on. If you look at the long history of the church in the British Isles, you may have heard of a tradition known as Celtic theology. And this family of Christians believes that there are certain places, certain geographic locations that they call thin places. Places where heaven is not so far from earth. They believe that there are places where you can actually feel God's presence in a palpable sensation. These thin places, if you will, are sometimes mountains, but they're sometimes seacoasts, sometimes churches, just certain places, thin places. Well, I would hazard a guess that all of us here have had what we might describe as a mountaintop experience. A time when you felt especially close to God, a time when you felt that God was right there with you. Now, given that you live in Colorado, so close to those gorgeous Rocky Mountains, your mountaintop experience may have, in fact, taken place on an actual mountain. But it could have just as easily happened at another thin place in your life. Think about it. Think about that experience, one of those amazing life moments when everything seems to click, when you know that God is speaking directly to you, or you know that God is as close as your heartbeat. Sometimes this moment is a joyful event, like a marriage or a baptism. Sometimes this moment is a time of tragedy or death. Do we fully appreciate these amazing experiences, or are we too busy with the rest of our lives to fully comprehend what's happening? Do we feel God's presence? Do we hear God's voice? Are we changed by this experience? Do we even fully understand what happened? Sometimes when we climb down from that mountain, we return much too soon to the mundane experiences of our lives. We are way too quick to get back into the routine. That's why I believe John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, talked about the need for believers to seek out what he called the means of grace. For United Methodists, this means that we are to actively look for those thin places. We are instructed to make those difficult journeys to the mountaintop to look for God. And this is specifically what Wesley instructs you to do. To read and study your Bible on a regular basis. allow the living Word to meet you where you are. Seek out times of prayer and reflection, times when you listen more than you speak. Do everything you can to attend worship at every opportunity. Pay special attention to our services of sacrament, Holy Communion every first Sunday of the month, and baptism on those rare and wonderful occasions when we recognize God's prevenient grace. We will have a baptism, several in fact, on Easter Sunday. Open yourself to the joy of helping other people, offering your gifts and graces back to God. Serve God's people through active participation in your church. And seek out other Christians so that you can compare notes and share stories of those difficult and amazing hikes up to the mountaintop. Wesley called that Christian conferencing. My sisters and brothers, the transfiguration of Jesus can be a transformational event in your life if you will let it be. Let us journey with Jesus to the top of that mountain to pray, because I promise you, it is worth the effort. Amen.